there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new that the Word of God does not have an answer for or a principle for that will ultimately change your life forever if you make a decision to have an expectation to receive what that Word has to say. Are you ready? I know you are. Let's go ahead. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for this Word tonight. Now, we was talking last week, talking about the point of decision, part two. We was talking about what it really meant to be a true disciple. And we found out in accordance to John chapter 8, verse 32, is talked about, if you continue in my word, at work, continue means to abide in. If you abide in my word, if you adhere to it, if you apply it to your everyday life, he says, then are you my disciples, my students, my followers, my true followers. Because you could say you're a disciple. Again, a disciple is someone who's made a decision to become a student, one who submits themselves to the teachings and instructions of God's word. So you can be somebody, you have prayed a prayer of salvation, and you have become a citizen of the kingdom of God, but your mind or your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, hasn't been renewed yet. So what are you going to do? You're still going to respond to things the same way you did before you were born again, because your mind has not been renewed. How is it supposed to be renewed? By the word of God. So Jesus is saying, if you are one of my true disciples, you will not just hear my word. And according to James chapter 1, verse 21 and 22, you are not just hearing my word, but you are doers. You're doing the word. You're applying the word to your everyday life. He says, because if you only hear it, but you don't do it, he says, you are deceiving yourself. You're not deceiving anybody else. You're deceiving yourself that anything in your life is changed. It's kind of like, you know, you can hear about the greatest exercise program out there. Man, you can get all the books on it. You can read up on it. You can have so much knowledge on it that is oozing out of your pores. But if you never do it, it doesn't matter how much of the knowledge you have, because the knowledge in and of itself doesn't change anything about you. It may change some thoughts in your mind, but it hasn't compelled you to put it into action. And that's the same thing that happens with the Word of God. You can hear the Word of God. You can get excited about the Word of God. Man, you can say, "Boy, I can do that." But if you just get if you hear it and you just get excited about it, but you never do it, you are deceiving yourself that you think anything in your life is going to change. Now, you may not be sinning out as much as you were before, because when you got born again, you got born again from above. So your spirit man, the real you, God made an exchange for. He took your old nature and he placed in you his nature. He placed the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And now the Holy Spirit, I call him the GPS system, or the God positioning system. The Holy Spirit, man, Holy Spirit, Siri can't touch the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the information that Siri gets is input into her by other people who are putting that information in. And if they give flawed information, Siri can only give flawed information. But see the thing about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's on the inside of you. He will give you the information that comes from Jesus himself. He says in John chapter 14, it says the Holy Spirit, he will lead and guide us, rerouting, and she recalculates to get you to that same destination, but it's going to take another route. How much more when you have the Holy Spirit that's living on the inside of you? When you get, if you're walking and you're get off the right path, what does he do? He reroutes you and tries to lead you and guide you in the way that you're supposed to go. He will always lead you and guide you in the way that you're supposed to go according to. He says, you know, if you are here to my word, if you apply it to your everyday life, he says, then are you my disciples indeed. He says, not only will you be my disciples indeed, he says, but you will know the truth. What's the truth? God's word is truth. He says, you will know the truth, and that truth will make you free. Make you free from what? Whatever situations, circumstances, bondages, old habits, old thought, wrong thought patterns, wrong perceptions of situations and circumstances, the more you apply the Word of God to your everyday life, the more you are intentionally applying the Word of God to your everyday life, what begins to happen, the more you adhere to it, the more you do it, the more you apply it, what it begins to do, it starts to shift you and it's leading you away from old ways of doing things into new ways of doing things. It leads you from old responses into new responses. But what had to happen first? You had to make a decision to become a disciple. You had to secondly make a decision to renew your mind by the Word of God. And thirdly, you had to make a decision to do it. Like I said, it doesn't matter how many times somebody tells you, it doesn't matter how many times somebody is instructing you on it, you still have to do it. You know, the interesting thing about this is it says in Isaiah verse chapter 1, verse 18, this is God's heart. This is God's heart for you. This is God's heart for me. He says this. He says, come now. And I'm reading out an Amplified version. He says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. He says, though your sins are like scarlet, he says, they shall be white as snow. How are they going to be white as snow? Because Jesus has taken his blood and he's washed it away. He says, though they are like red, like crimson, he says, they shall be like wool. He says this. He says this part, though. He says, if you, talking about you, if you are willing and obedient. See, it's not a matter of just wanting to be willing, he says, because you could be willing and never be obedient. So you could will, you really want to do the Word of God, but you just don't do the Word of God. He says, or you can be obedient to what it says, but you do it with the wrong attitude, with the wrong motive. You're grudgingly, you're like, man, I'm doing it, but I really don't want to do it. It don't make no sense to me, no how. You know what? God says, if you are willing and obedient, not just being willing and not being obedient, or being obedient and not being willing. He says it's a dynamic duo, willingness and obedience. He says, and you will eat the good of the land. He says, when you are willing and obedient to the Word of God, when you are willing and obedient to acknowledge when you make sin simply means you missed the mark. God's mark was here. You came in here. You know what, Lord? I should have came up. Your word says this. I came in here. I acknowledge what it is that I did wasn't right. I ask you to forgive me. Now, the thing about it is forgiveness has already been made available to you. But like salvation, you have to receive it. And so many people walk around feeling guilty and beaten down. And oh, man, I'm no more good. And God, why did you? Why? That's not how God wants you to live. It's kind of like watching your kid. If your child is on the playground and little Billy falls out of the swing and he dusts his knee, and initially he cries, boo, you know, he's crying because he bumped his knee. Man, you would go over there, hey, little Billy, let me dust you off, little buddy. It's okay. Get back up. You're good. You're fine. But if little Billy lay down there for 5, 10, 15 minutes, I just can't go on. I just can't swing no more the rest of my life. Then you will be looking at Billy like, Billy crazy. That's the same thing that happens when you miss it and you're like, I can't go to God no more. I can't pray no more. I just can't do it. Why? Because it's not like God did not know that you were going to miss it. But even he already made a way for you that when you miss it, when you come back and acknowledge what it is you did, you get right back in right fellowship with him as if nothing ever happened. He's the one who washes it away by the blood. It's been washed away by the blood of Jesus. And he treats you like you never even missed it. Now, why is that great news? Because this whole year, 2022, has been declared to be the year of correction, direction, protection, and perfection. It's in your spirit and in your soul and in your body and your churches and your finances and in your government. It's a year of God's favor and blessing. For who? For all those who will make a decision to do it God's way. Now, correction, we talked about over the last couple of weeks. What is correction? Man, when you hear somebody correct, people immediately go on the defense. But you know what that simple word correct means? To make right or to raise to a standard of truth. So what is God doing in this year? What is he doing throughout the year of 2022? He is making things right and raising things to the standard of the truth of his word. And how will he do that? He will use his word to be able to do that. And according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, he uses his word to bring about correction. He doesn't put chaos on you. He doesn't use tragedy. Why? Because you will be so caught up in that tragedy that it'll be hard for you to really learn that lesson. But guess what? Even if you end up in a situation that he did not cause, he will still, remember, because the Holy Spirit is the GPS, the God positioning system, it will lead you and guide you in the way that you should go, in the way of God's truth and his word, so you can come out victorious on the other side. So he uses his word, and what does his word do? His word brings about direction. What does direction do? It aims you at a certain point. It points you to something. When you type in with your GPS system, or when you say, hey Siri, where, how do I get to so and such and such place, Siri is calculating and where your physical location is now and what steps and obstacles you have to go to in order for you to get to the place which you desire. And what does she do? She gives you the directions, and he says, follow the route going this way. And the Holy Spirit does the exact same thing. He knows the direction. And when you make a decision, hey, I'm going to follow, I'm going to do it God's way, he will lead you, he will guide you into all truth. And just church activities? Nope. He'll do it for your job. He'll do it with your marriage. He'll do it with your children. He'll do it with your finances. He'll do it with entertainment. He'll do it with government. So this year, he's using this year to bring about correction, direction, and he's going to bring about this third thing. We're going to talk about protection. Protection means to the act of protecting, our defense, our shelter from what? From evil. From evil that's going on all around you right now. He's already made a plan. He already has preordained that, you know what? I'm going to bring about correction. I'm going to make things right. I'm going to give them direction. I'm going to point them in the way that they should go. And what is it going to also produce? It's going to produce protection from any evil or circumstances or chaoses that are coming up against you in this year. And how many people know there's been a lot of things that's happening in this year that we haven't seen in our lifetime? I mean, with the whole pandemic situation that's been going on, with the prices of gas and inflation going on, and people saying, and people are afraid that there's going to be a recession and all that. And we bind that all up in the name of Jesus. And we declare in accordance to Psalms 91, 1,000 will fall at our side, 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us in the name of Jesus. Now, he told me to remind you of this. He says, the reason why you can take this word to the bank when it's talking about this being a year of correction, a year of direction, a year of perfection, protection and perfection. He says the reason why you could take it to the bank, he says, one, God is not a man that he should lie, nor is he the son of man that he should repent. If he said it, will he not do it? If he called it, shall he not make it good? God cannot lie. One. Two, he's already demonstrated it before. How do you know that? He says, because in accordance to Genesis, as you are in accordance to, yes, Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. It's over. No, what did he do? And this is what happened. Adam and Eve, the moment they was always operating according to the kingdom of God up until this point, because God's original plan was for man to have dominion or rule and reign the earth. And he gave them authority, he gave them dominion, and he blessed them. He told them to be fruitful, to multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. That word subdue means to have control of your situation. So when you become born again, when you receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and you become a citizen of the kingdom of God, what happens? Now you are endued with authority to do what? To rule and to reign, to operate according to the kingdom of God, according to the word of God, so you can replenish, multiply, Replenish, subdue, and to subdue. Subdue what? Subdue your situations. Have control over your environment. Have control over your household. Have control over your finances. Have control over sickness and disease. Have control over poverty and lack. Have control over chaos and destruction that's all around you. All those are all benefits that are part of being in the kingdom of God. And see, it's kind of like when you came, you know, for many people who immigrated to Canada from other places, you know, from the Middle East or, you know, different parts of Africa, they came to this nation because of all the benefits and all, they're looking for what? A better life. And they're looking, you know, because it's a land of opportunities, and it's a land that flows with milk and honey, or has so many jobs, and their economy is better, and their housing is better, and their healthcare is better, and all these benefits that people believe that they will receive when they came into the nation of Canada. How much more are the benefits when you make a decision to come out of that kingdom of darkness, that old way of doing things, lying, cheating, stealing, manipulating, you know, trying to get ahead, doing whatever you got to do to try to get ahead over all somebody else. When God says, when you make a decision to come into my kingdom, when you make a decision to become a citizen of the kingdom of God by receiving and believing what it is that Jesus did for you on the cross, he says, then you come in. And one of the first things I give you is the Holy Spirit, the GPS system. And he leads and guides you into all truth. He teaches you in all things. He will bring back to your remembrance all the things in which God has said unto you, and he will show you things to come. What is the other thing that happens when you become a citizen of the kingdom of God? You receive power. You receive authority. Authority to do what? To replenish, to multiply, to subdue, and to be fruitful. What does it mean to be fruitful? To always be increasing. What does it mean to replenish? To fill and fill again and again. What does to do mean? Means to have control over your environment, over your situation, and over your circumstance. Jesus did not come to establish a religion. Jesus came to reestablish the kingdom of God. He says this in John chapter 10, verse 10. He says, hey, look, there is a thief. His name is Satan. He's called the devil. He's called your adversary. And what does he come to do? He comes to do three things, and this is what he wants to do. He wants to steal, he wants to kill, he wants to destroy. He wants to steal your identity so you spend most of your life not knowing who it is you are. You walk wandering around trying to figure out who you are. Second, he comes to kill. What does he want to kill? He wants to kill your purpose, because if you don't know who you are, it will be hard for you to fulfill the purpose. And I'm here to tell you that in accordance to Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, God says he knew you. He knew you from the very beginning. He knew you before you was even formed in your mother's womb. He knew you, and he approved you, and he accepted you, and he created you with a purpose and with a plan for your life before the foundation of the world. Before you was even in the earth, God says, I already knew you. I already had a plan for you. I already had a purpose for you. And I want to tell you something. I want to tell you right now that you, in accordance to Psalms 139, I believe it's verse 50, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are perfect. You are perfectly made. God loves you. God receives you. And God says he had a plan and a purpose for your life from the foundation of the world. He says, and you will never fulfill the purpose he had for you living in the kingdom of darkness. The only way you will really find out who you really are, if you really want to know for sure, who you are and what your identity is, you will only find that in Christ. Because it's kind of like trying to take a Samsung phone to the Apple and say, Apple, tell me what everything is about this Samsung phone. How does it line up with your product? Well, how's Apple going to do that? Apple was not the manufacturer of the Samsung phone. So it may know a lot of things about it on the surface, but it does not know the true intent and everything that goes along with that phone without having to read the manual. How much more is it that God says the only way you're going to find out who you really are, what your real purpose is in Christ, his son, and through his word, and he will reveal to you. It's not like God's trying to hide it from you, but you again, remember, you said you have to come with eyes open to see and ears ready to hear, and your heart being receptive to hearing what it is that God's purpose and plan for your life was from the foundation of the world. What's the third thing the adversary wants to do? He wants to destroy your life. See, if he can steal your identity, he can kill your purpose, he will destroy your life. It's not that you will die. It simply means that you will live, but you won't live the full life that God had originally designed from you from the foundation in the world. You say, well, if God has this great plan for me, why doesn't he just give it to me? Well, he's not holding it back from you. Most people don't even go to ask him about it. And when they go ask him about it, and he might tell you something that you be like, man, I don't want to do that. I ain't going to make no money doing that. I'm going to tell you right now. I used to think, man, if I ever sold out like that, my life would be whack, man. I'm making all this money. I'm making all these moves. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I got this. I got that. But I'm gonna ask you a question, the same question Jesus asked his disciples in Mark chapter 8. I believe it's verse 34 where he says this. He says, what would it profit you if you gained everything in this world and you lost your soul? And what are you willing to give in exchange for it? What are you willing to give in exchange for your soul? Does he have anything against people having prosperity? Not at all. Remember, Jesus came to give us life, the God kind of life, a blessed life, a prosperous life, an eternal life. He says, but you got to do it God's way. See, the thing about it is God is not against you having money. God's not against you having houses. God is not against you having cars and all this other good stuff. You know what? Can I tell you a secret? Lean in here. Can I tell you something? Do you know that money is the lowest form of prosperity? What? Yes. Do you know money is the lowest part of prosperity? Why? Because you could have a lot of money and can buy medicine, but it can't buy you healing. You can have a lot of money to buy a home, buy a house, but it doesn't make it a home. You can have a lot of money, date a lot of different women or men, and you can have companionship, but it doesn't mean that you have relationship. So money is a great tool, but it's a terrible guide. But Jesus said this. He says, the thief is going to come and he wants to steal your identity. He wants to kill your purpose so he can destroy your life. But Jesus said, look, this is what I did. I came to give you an identity. I came to show you your purpose. I came to do what? To give you life. What kind of life? The God kind of life. That life that you can live that's in abundance to the full, to the overflows. What does that mean? You are no longer bound just by what it is that the world's way says you can do things. You have a greater way. Why? Because remember, when you get born again, one of the first two things you get is you get the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of you, and you also receive authority. What comes with that authority? The ability to subdue or to control your environment. You can multiply. You can replenish. You're always increasing. You're always abounding. And he says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. He says this. He says, thanks be unto God who always causes me to prosper. Jesus said, I'm so committed to you having this life in abundance to the full until it overflows. He says, I'm even willing to lay down my life. In verse 17, he says, I lay down my life as the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep, for all those who've made a decision to receive what it is that I've made available to them. You know this because John 3:16 says this. Jesus is saying this to Nicodemus, a religious leader. He says this. He says that God so loved the world. He loved so loved you. He loved me. He loved people. It doesn't matter what your race is. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how bad you messed up. Doesn't matter what it is you did. He says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Who's his only begotten son? Jesus. That whosoever, who follows it, that whoever, you, me, Charlie, Baba, Boo Boo, whoever it is, from one end of this earth into the next. He says, he gave his only begotten son for us, that if we make the decision to do what? Believe on him. Believe that he is God's only begotten son. Believe that he gave his life on the cross. On the third day, he rose again from the dead and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. He says, if you believe, whosoever believeth in him would not perish, would not lose that life, that God kind of life. But what they would do, they would have everlasting life, or the God kind of life, in abundance to the full until it overflows. And I want to share this with you as well. See, God did not send Jesus into the world to condemn or judge the world, but he sent Jesus into the world that through him the world might be saved. Saved from what? The penalty of death, hell, and the grave. The penalty from separation from God, which Adam and Eve had experienced. They was in God's kingdom, God's way of doing things, and then they rebelled against God's way of doing things and was translated over into the kingdom of darkness. See, whoever you yield yourself to, whether it's for righteousness, God's way, or unrighteousness, doing it the adversary's way, is that that's who you become a servant to. See, if you yield yourself to do it the world's way or to the adversary's way, then you become slave to him. But when you yield yourself and make a decision, you know what? I'm going to accept what it is that Jesus did for me on the cross. I'm going to accept that life, not just life, but life in abundance to the full until it overflows. Man, I'm going to make a decision to accept the correction. Go in the direction which he is pointing me that brings about protection. Now, let me share this with you. It says in 1 John chapter 3, still talking about what Jesus came to do. It says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, it says this. It says, he who sins, that word sins, sin is of the devil. Now, that word sins means continuously, you know, practices sinning. They not even trying to stop. They just, man, I'm going to do me. I don't care what you say, preacher. I'm going to do me. Hey, that's your choice. I'm not mad at you. That's your choice. But with every choice, there comes consequences. He says this, for the devil, talking about the adversary, has sinned from the beginning for this purpose or for this reason. Remember, when you're born with an identity and you're born with a purpose. Now, this is one of the purposes of Jesus. For this purpose, the Son of God, who was the Son of God? Jesus, was manifested that he might do what? Destroy the works of the devil. So Jesus came into the world, gave his life on the cross, was buried, rose again on the third day, put his blood on the mercy seat to do what? And when he went on that cross to pay for the sin debt, he destroyed the works or the schemes of the plots of the devil. Now, that doesn't mean that the adversary won't try to still trick you into or manipulate you into trying to do them. But guess what? When you become born again, you have authority over him. You have authority over the situation and circumstance. Remember, one of the things you get when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you receive authority and dominion to subdue or to have control over your environment, your situations and circumstances. Now this, verse 14 says, we know that we have passed from death. What death is that? Separation from God. And you have left that old way and come into life. Remember, when you get born again, what happens? You receive life. What kind of life? The God kind of life. What kind of life is that? A life that's in abundance to the full till it overflows. The God kind of life where you have authority and you have dominion to have control over your situations and circumstances, or when you operate and become a doer of the word of God and you do it God's way. Are you seeing all this? He says, because we love the brethren. See, we love the brethren. Love means I agape love you. What does agape love means to you? It means I love you expecting nothing in return. I love you unconditionally. It does not mean I like everything you do. It does not mean that I accept everything that you do. But it hasn't made me stop loving you at all. And guess what? That love you receive also when you receive Christ Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And because when the Holy Spirit moves on the inside of you, what does he bring with him? He brings in you so he can begin to develop the character of the Spirit, which is love, joy, faith, peace, gentleness, goodness, long-suffering, meekness. All those things come and you are equipped with them from the moment you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Well, Pastor, if that's the case, why don't I see more of that? Because you have to develop that. You have to develop it. It doesn't just blossom. You have to begin to work on it, just like a muscle. You got to begin to work on it. See, the difference between somebody who is very skinny and somebody who's a bodybuilder, they have the same amount of muscles. The only one, the difference is one has matured or worked on and developed it more than the other. When you see somebody walking in great, as a believer, walking in great unconditional love, is because they have developed that love. When you walk, see them walking in patience, they've developed patience. When they've developed, you know, long suffering, you know, all those things are part of love. If you go back and read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it talks about what love does and what love doesn't. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 4 talks about that love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love, you know, vaunteth not itself. Love's not puffed up. Love does not insist on its own way. Love, you know, all these things that love do, and it goes on and tells you all the things. But one of the things it says about love, love, the God kind of love, never fails. And see, the world will say love is love, but that's not true. The love the world is talking about is a phileo love, which is a conditional love. I love you like a brother. But God's love is, I love you unconditional. It does not mean I approve of everything. I don't condone of everything you do. But if you make a decision to do that, man, I can love you, and I will love, and I will pray for you, and I will believe God that you will find a better way to do things, and you'll get on the life cycle and get off that death cycle. He says, how do you know that you have been passed from that old way, the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of God? What's a telltale sign? Because we love the brethren. What? You mean to tell me the way that somebody's gonna can really tell that I'm a believer, I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm not just being religious, but I'm really truly a disciple of His, is my love towards the brethren? Man, you got to give me something more than that. That's fine. Go to, I believe it's John chapter 6, I believe it's verse 33, which talks about how by this shall they know that we are His disciples indeed, our love one for another. People are going to know whether you're a born-again believer or truly a disciple, a true disciple of Jesus, with your love one for another. How would they know that you passed from your old way into that old life and to the new life? He says, you're going to be able to tell because of your unconditional love towards the brethren. So he goes on to say, he who does not love his brother still abides in death. So if you don't love your brethren, you're still operating according to that old nature, that old way of doing things, even though you have the love of God on the inside. If you're truly born again, you have the love of God on the inside of you. Praying the prayer is not enough. You have to make a heart decision. Now that I'm born again, I'm going to begin to be a doer of the word of God. I'm not going to just hear it only. He goes on to say this. He says, now listen to this part. Whoever hates his brother. Listen to this. Whoever hates his brother or sister. The word of God says you're a murderer. The word of God says if you hate someone, you are a murderer. Remember how it says, no. To murder means that, you know, I kill somebody. No. Remember when Jesus was talking, we talked about this last week, about how in the Sermon on the Mount, in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, and Matthew chapter 5, and through 6 and verse 7, Jesus says, hey, you have heard it said, you know, thou shalt not kill. But he says, but I say unto you, if you hate your brother, you have already committed murder. So he's telling, this reinforced here, if you hate your brother, you are in God's eyes, you are a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. See, when you have the God kind of life, when you really receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, when you really have made a decision, I'm a disciple, I'm sold out to it, God is going to be your way right away. He says, you can't hate anyone. Why? Because the love of God is on the inside of you. Now, you may strongly dislike what they do, but this is where you got to separate the who from the do. They may do one thing and you may totally have a strong dislike for that, but you still love the person. I have people who've lied, betrayed, talked about, manipulated, all kind of things. I strongly dislike what they did, but I still love the person. How do you know you still love them? Because you can still pray for them. He says, if you hate someone, you are a murderer, and no murderer has eternal life abiding on in him. He says, by this we know love. How do we know love? How do we come in contact with love? He says, by this we know love, because he, talk about the Father, his son, laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. See, Jesus came, according to Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, he says, the Son of Man, the Son of God, came to seek and save that which was lost. Jesus came to seek and to save those who are lost. Those who are lost. Those who are separated themselves from him. Those who have not made a decision to surrender their lives to him. They are lost. Lost in what? Lost in this world's way of doing things. Separated from the Father. Separated from his way of doing things. Separated from the life, the purpose, and plan that he had from you from the foundation of the world. But he says, I don't want to leave you there. He says, that's why I'm bringing all the correction. That's why he's bringing all, bringing about the direction. That's why because he ultimately wants to protect you from the hurt, harm, and dangers that are in the world today. He wants to protect you. He wants to perfect you. He wants you to have your best life yet. But he can't do it apart from you. He can't go against your will. Remember, the choice is yours. The adversary, you already know, is trying to steal, kill, and destroy. He's trying to steal your identity, kill your purpose, to destroy your life. But Jesus said, I came to give you back identity. I came to give you a purpose and to show you your purpose so that you might have life. What kind of life? The God kind of life. But he can't do it against your will. He won't go against your will. He can't go against your will. See, I want to tell you something else about condemnation. See, in Christ, there is no condemnation. What's condemnation? Condemnation, in accordance to Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2, talks about this. He says, there is now, no condemnation, no adjudging guilt of wrong. God doesn't guilt you. He doesn't condemn you. He doesn't do any of those things. He says, for those who are in Christ Jesus, he says, there's no condemnation. There's no guilt. There's no condemnation against you. There's no judging guilty of wrong on you. He says, there's none of that in me. He says this, though. He says, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk and live not after the dictates of their flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. Remember, you have the Holy Spirit who's living on the inside of you to lead and guide you into all truth. He's not walking around condemning you. He's not walking around judging you. Why? Because, see, there's a law in place. He says, for the law, the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of new being, has made you free from the law of sin and death. See, when you accept Jesus, your personal Lord and Savior, you are separated from that old nature. You are separated from that old way of doing things. In fact, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man or woman be in Christ, you're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He wants to make you new today. He wants you to accept the newness that he's made available to you. He wants you to accept the correction, to make, he's trying to make things right and bring you to a standard of truth and aim you at a certain place he wants you to be so you can live your best life yet and be shielded and protected from the evil of this world. He wants you to have control over your environment according to the kingdom of God. But he needs your help. He needs your cooperation. Will you make a decision to make the correction today? Decision to accept his direction today? Will you make a decision to accept his protection today? Preacher, how do I go about doing that? Man, it's simple. In accordance to Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, you make a decision. He says this. He says, the word of God is near you. He said, it's in your heart, it's in your mouth. It's the word of faith which we preach, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you will believe in your heart that God truly raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. What does that word save mean? Healed, delivered, set free, made whole, and protected. He says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with your mouth confession is made unto healing, deliverance, salvation, wholeness, protection. Will you pray this prayer with me? Confess it out of your mouth and mean it from your heart. Make Jesus the Lord of your life today. Say this with me. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he died for me on the cross and carried my sins for me. I believe he's put in the grave, but now he is risen. He's alive right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me now. I repent of sin. I accept your offer of forgiveness. I'm now born again. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, glory to God. If you pray that prayer for the very first time, we want to welcome you into the kingdom of God, welcome you into right relationship with God, and welcome you in right position. So what do you do now? Man, you got to get in a word-based church. What's your next step? Get in a word-based church that teaches you about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but also teaches you about the kingdom of God and that agape love of God, the God kind of love that loves unconditionally. On behalf of Sister, our Pastor Juwen, and the entire Knock Nation, I want to thank you for joining us this evening. And remember this, Jesus came to give you life in abundance to the full till it overflows. God bless you. We'll see you next week. God bless. Bye-bye.